work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. From Scripture we read 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Are ye the temple of the living? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Nell Auerkirk, who is in the hospital in Lethbridge, and Mrs. Jenny Van Sluis, who was able to come home from the hospital. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou who art high, Thou who art dwelling in Thy majesty, Thou who dwelleth in Thy glory, in the light, and we upon this sin-cursed earth, Thou hast taken a church home unto Thyself, even from the beginning. And Thou still hast a church that is here in this world, which Thou art gathering in the time, and which Thou art instructing. Well, we have heard it also from Thy holy word, O Lord, that Thou hast heard in a day that is accepted, in a day of salvation, have I succored Thee. Oh, we are come up together in Thy house of prayer in this morning hour. And it is before Thy countenance, it is before Thy face, that we do appear in this morning on Thy holy day, according to Thy own commandment. But Thou knowest that it is also in all our sin and in all our shortcoming, because who is able to appear before Thee clean? And so we appear before Thee with all our iniquity and all our sin, that is from our whole life, but that we carry with us in our heart. For it is in our being from the day of our fall. Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? O Lord, could it please Thee when we are so come up in this morning hour before Thee, and when we are not able to stand before Thee, that Thou wouldst look upon us in and through Thine only begotten Son? O Thou hast said, in Him I am well pleased. O could it please Thee also then to receive us in Him? O that Thou wouldst not deal with us as our many sins deserve, but when we may be seen by Thee in Him, O then there is a possibility, oh, then there is a way that we can receive Thy blessings, though that we have sinned ourselves outside of them in our father Adam, and continue to do so day by day. Oh, then it is possible that we may receive the fruits that have been bought by Thy dear Son. Oh, Lord, is He not worthy in Thy sight to receive that inheritance that Thou hast promised unto Him? Oh, could it be that we and our children also may be taken by Thee? Oh, send forth then in this day Thy Holy Spirit from on high, that He also may come in the day in which we live, in which Thou dost still gather Thy church, when we may be around Thy holy word of truth. Oh, send Him forth, Lord, in this hour, in these moments. We can only beseech it of Thee out of free and sovereign grace. We can only beseech it of Thee on the basis of the merits of Thine only begotten Son, that Thou would send forth Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, speak, Lord, that Thou would send Him forth for the glory of Thy name. Oh, that there might be rejoicing this day, O Lord, about Thy throne, when one sinner shall repent, when he shall smite upon his breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, then the angels about Thy throne, they shall rejoice, because it is the fruit of the work of thine only begotten Son. Oh, then such a one can be received by thee in thy mercy and in thy grace. Oh, thou shalt receive such honor by it, Lord. Oh, do look upon thy great and holy name and glorify thyself in thy glory this day. Oh, could it be here also upon the earth, then there will be sorrow. Oh, but it shall not be a sorrowing unto death, but it shall be a sorrowing unto life eternal. Oh, Lord, do it then for thy name's sake. Look also upon thy children. Oh, thou knowest where they are, for thou hast thyself begun with them. But thou knowest that they also are here upon the earth. And here, then they must fight a warfare, which is not accomplished until they have laid down a body of sin and death. Oh, Lord, could it please thee then to teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight against sin, against Satan, against a triple-headed enemy. Oh, give them courage in it, for often they are discouraged. Oh, often they are afraid that it is all not with them. But Lord, oh, it is thy day. Could it please thee to use one little word out of our mouth this day to feed thy lambs? Oh, to feed the little ones who are not able even to know their right hand from their left, and who do not know that way to return unto thee. Oh, give us to be an instrument in thy holy fingers. Hast thou not sent us for this work? And hast thou not commanded us to do this work? Oh, Lord, could it please thee then, even in this morning hour, to remember us, for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, and for the sake of thy dear people, that they may be led by thy dealings here below, and that they may be instructed by thy Spirit out of thy holy word. Oh, that they may receive a little courage and a little strength upon that journey that they are traveling upon a narrow way. For there are steep mountains and there are deep valleys. And without thee, oh, they shall slip and they shall fall. Oh, they would even fall away when it would be that they are left over to themselves. Oh, Lord, then look upon thy church this day, even over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Increase their number, but increase also the instruction from above. For thou knowest that we live also in the last time, and thou sayest that when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith upon the earth? Then the knowledge is small, and the strength is so weak. Oh, could it please thee then to remember us this day? Oh, give unto thy servants what is necessary to bring thy word. And we remember those that are in our community. Also him that may labor in our sister congregation. For a few weeks, oh, do give unto him much liberty and much opening. And could it please thee to bless the labors of his hands, and also all thy truly sent servants. Lord, could it please thee to increase their number here below for the sake of thy great and holy name, and for the bringing in of thy kingdom. Do look upon all that are distressed, the afflictions that must be endured. They are many in this world. Supply for all those that are weak, and all that are handicapped, and all that are sick, and those that do mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans, in in sorrow, in loneliness, and in desolation. Wilt thou look upon her that is lying in the hospital? Thou knowest all her needs. Oh, that thou may heal her, Lord, and bring her safely home in thy appointed time, if it could please thee, to give her what she needs in her mind, but also in her body. Oh, visit her there, in that place in her soul, that thou may show thyself, and that she may yet be given to testify that this sickness was not unto death, but that it was unto the glory of the Lord, and that it was to the salvation of her soul. And do look on her also that was brought to her home again, humble her heart under all thy goodness, and increase her strength. Visit her also aware that she is, and supply for each and every one of those that are afflicted, oppressed, distressed, persecuted in the midst of this world. Put away the devices of the prince of darkness. Give that thy name may be glorified in the hearts of many, and that thy word may have free course. Oh, Lord, for what purpose are we gathered here? We are to worship thee. That is the reason that thou hast given one day out of seven, that we are called to cease all the labors of our hands, that we may come to thy house, that there we may acknowledge thy name. O Lord, so it was even from the beginning, even before sin came into this world. And now, oh, it is so impossible. Oh, then we can speak of thee with our mouth, and we can sing of thee with our mouth. But thou knowest that our heart, oh, that is from ourselves so far away from thee. Oh, thou alone art able to make it different in the preaching and in the hearing in this morning hour. And we beseech it of thee, oh Lord, take away all our sins. And wilt thou forgive what is yet amiss? And wilt thou make us upright, make us holy before thee, that we may live a right life in thy holy sight? And that we also may learn, even by little moments in this world, to magnify and to glorify the name of thee, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Take reasons out of thyself to help us as thy servant in this morning. Oh, could it please thee to bless the labors of our hands in the midst of this our flock. Oh, that this may be the testimony that we are thine, that also many among us may become converted unto thee, and that there may be food in thy house for thy people, because that alone can come from thee. That is not our work. Oh, Lord, thou gavest those few small fishes and those few loaves unto thy disciples. They had but to hand them out. But thou didst have to multiply the loaves. And then they were so glad that that people, they may be fed, and they may take up a baskets full. O Lord, take reasons then out of thyself to show thyself and to look upon us in thy mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 7. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. We announce that the next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing, the sacrament of holy baptism will be administered in our midst. And the last collection today is for the carpet and the benches. Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 7. Congregation, the words of our text you can find this morning in that portion of God's Word which was read to you as 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and thereof the last part of the 10th verse. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, the last part. These words, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So far, the words of our text. A divine paradox. First, we see it in its sad context. Second, we see it in its blessed meaning. A divine paradox. First, in its sad context. Second, in its blessed meaning. A paradox. What congregation is a paradox? That is something which involves a contradiction or a seeming contradiction, as if that there are two things that do not agree together and contradict each other, and yet those two things, they are present with each other and exist with each other, both at the same time. There is a people in the world whose life is full of paradoxes, of riddles, of things that they are not able to understand, things that they are not able to put together, that they would say they are things that are not able to exist together, and yet they do experience them together. Do you know such paradoxes? Do you have also such riddles? Where do you go with them? We read of a woman in God's Word that had such riddles, and that within her own womb that there was a struggle, and that struggle that contradicted in her own heart those things that the Lord had promised unto her. And do you know what we read of that woman? And we read that she went to inquire of the Lord. Do you also go to that place to inquire of the Lord when you are not able to understand what is taking place in your own heart and in your own life? God's Word that is full of paradoxes. Young people, maybe there are also so many things that you say they don't fit together. And indeed, that seems so, because we read in God's Word that He is the first, He is the Omega. Thus, everything, also the very beginning of that work of God that begins in heaven, not upon the earth. And on the other hand, we read in God's Word, "Seek and ye shall find." You say, "I do not understand it." Indeed, it is a paradox. the sovereignty, the responsibility, and how that those things, they can dwell and do dwell together, boys and girls. You know, when the Lord Jesus was born, that the angels did sing. What was that song? They sang peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But when the Lord Jesus began to preach, and then the Lord Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword." Thus, the paradox. We read the Lord Jesus, he says, that he that will save his life will lose it. And he that will lose his life for my sake, even the same shall save it. You say a paradox. Yes, it is a riddle. They are things that for us, well, we cannot understand. No, we have congregation to experience those paradoxes. And in this chapter that was read to you, then Paul also declares a number of paradoxes. He says, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Why does Paul say this? Well, congregation, that is sad. We say a sad context, because this chapter, and not only this chapter, but this whole book of the Second Corinthians, that is a defense. It is a defense of the Apostle Paul, a defense of his doctrine, a defense of his apostleship. He is under attack. Then he was instrumental for the beginning of this church, the Corinthians. But then there are always enemies. And they were coming also among that people. When Paul was away from them, then Satan, he is busy to try to destroy everything that the Lord has built up by his servant. And when that enemy will attack God's people and God's servants, then they will take the smallest thing. Because Paul, he had promised that he would come to them, but then it was in the providence of the Lord that Paul, he had to make a change in his plan so that he did not come to them right away, but he had to postpone his visit. And now those enemies, because they will grab hold of anything, then they say, now look at that man. He is an unfaithful man. He is a man that does not keep his promise. And if we cannot believe him, then we also cannot believe his doctrine. And thus Paul, he has to defend himself. He has to vindicate himself. May he do that? You say, the Lord will take care of him. then he should just let them mock. Well, congregation, there are times that we need not defend ourselves. Solomon, he says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. But then, and that is a paradoxal so, Solomon continues, and he says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. That's a paradox. He says there are times when we had best keep our mouth closed, but there are other times when we must needs open our mouth, because then that enemy, he will think we have no answer, and he will be himself deceived by his own folly. Thus, it is for his own instruction, but it is also for the good of others. And Paul, then he must come to the defense of the truth. That is not for himself, no. That is for God's honor. That is for the sake of the church. And thus, in this letter to the Corinthians, that second letter, then Paul, he is showing himself to be a true servant of the Lord. He defends his apostleship. He defends his doctrine. And he explains why that he did not come as he said he was going to come. In all this, the apostle Paul is led by the Spirit of the Lord, so that he is writing the oracles of God. Thus, he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That was no easy time for Paul. But the psalmist, he says, of the Lord, he says, thy thoughts are very deep. And then there was a reason for it. All things working for the good of them that love God, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. What does the enemy say? He says, look at Paul. Look at his condition. Look at his afflictions. Look at his persecution. Look at his lack of gifts. Look at his poverty. The enemy, he is heaping one accusation and fault upon another. But Paul, he gives an answer to that people. He says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. And then he comes, as it were, to a climax. And then he says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. We say a paradox. A divine paradox. No congregation, the enemy, he will not understand it. More, the enemy will not receive it. But it will be for the comfort of the true church of God. We read in God's word that Christ, he spoke in parables. For what reason? You say, children, that was to make it simple for us. No, no. We read just the opposite. We read because he says, your hearts, they are waxed gross, and your ears are dull of hearing, and your eyes have you closed. And because you have closed your eyes and your ears and your hearts, he says, I am now going to judge you. And in judgment, then I am going to speak in a way that those that are closing their eyes and closing their ears and closing their hearts, that they will not understand. That is the judgment of the Lord. Lest you see with your eyes, lest you hear with your ears, and lest you understand with your heart and be converted, and I should heal you. Thus that enemy, he is warned. We are warned. And the Lord speaks congregation in such a plain way. But when we will not take heed, when we will not take heed, do you know what the Lord does? Then he will go on without us. He will go on without us. And he will leave us behind. And he will speak to his people. And he will instruct his people. And he will comfort his people. Thus the disciples, they say, Lord, tell us the meaning of this parable. And so we go to our second thought, the meaning, the blessed meaning of this divine paradox. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. How is it possible? How can those two things exist together? As having nothing. What does that mean, children? As having nothing. Well, you say that is to be poor. Yes. That is to be more than poor. That is to be the poorest of the poor. Then he says, not as having very little, as not having very much. No, he says, as having nothing. That is to be as poor as possible. Then he says, and yet possessing all things. Possessing all things, what is that? That is the very opposite. That is to be rich. Only rich? No. More than rich. That is not to possess much, a lot. That is to possess everything. Thus he says, possessing all things. You cannot come to a greater contrast. To have nothing and to have everything. That is more than that contrast that there was between that rich man and Lazarus. For these here are at the opposite ends. And yet, Paul says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Thus, he says those things. They are opposites. They are in direct contrast. They are in direct conflict with one another. And yet, he says, they exist. They dwell together. Thus, he says, to be poor and to be rich. Not in one time and another time, no. But at the same time. A paradox. How can that fit together? Well, boys and girls, I think that there are at least many of you that know the answer. Because there are sometimes paradoxes, riddles that you ask one another in this world, and then you try to get the answer. That is only for your mind. This is much more. This is also for your soul. And then you may ask the Lord, oh Lord, how can that be? As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Well, there are some of you. You say, I know how that is. Because on the one hand, there are earthly things, and on the other hand, there are heavenly things. And those are different. On the one hand, there are carnal things, and on the other hand, there are spiritual things. Thus, you see, it is possible to have nothing, nothing of the earth, and everything of heaven. It is possible to be poor in this world and to be rich towards God. It is possible that we have no earthly goods and that we have the greatest heavenly treasures. And then we say, you are right. You are right. That is then the solution to that paradox, isn't it? What do we read? We read, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which God hath given to those that love him? The poor of this world, rich in faith. That is the paradox. Having nothing and yet possessing all things. O fallen man, he is hankering congregation after all the things that are in this world. Is that you too? You say we must labor. Yes, yes, diligently, because Solomon, he speaks very often about the slothful. Oh, let us, no one of us, be seen as a slothful man or a woman or a boy or a girl in this world. Never. But then the Lord also says, labor not to be rich. He says, cease from thine own wisdom. Solomon, he says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Which is not? For riches, he says, certainly make themselves wings. They fly as an eagle toward heaven. He calls the riches in this world things that are not. They do not exist. The natural man says it of the, it says it the reverse. He says the spiritual things do not exist. That's all that is in this world is that which is natural, all that we can see. No, James says, Paul says, wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? It does not even exist. It is here and then it is gone. Therefore, labor, yes, but labor not to be rich. And yet, man, what does he do? He is honoring man according to what he has. Because what do we read? We read a rich man, a poor man, he is despised of his neighbor, but the rich have many friends. Solomon tells us about a little city. There was just a few men in it. And he says there was a great king who came against that city, a poor man in that city, by his wisdom delivered the city, and yet no one remembered that poor man. Oh, he is despised for his poverty. When riches, they are nothing. There is a people, Paul says, they as having nothing yet possess all things. That is, as having nothing in this world, yet they are the possessors in this world. Are you ever jealous of them? That you would say, I wish I had the portion of that people. What do they have? Oh, they have enough for the time. Not much for the time, maybe. But they have enough for the time. Because their bread is sure and their water is sure, David became an old man. And in his old age, he says, once I was young, but now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, if that people, they have not enough to eat, children, do you know who will bring them something to eat? The animals, the ravens. If they don't have enough from people, if they are poor in this world, the Lord, he will tell the ravens to bring them food. You can read the stories about the Second World War, how there were times that God's people, they were fed by the very beasts of the field. They have enough. And what does Paul say? He says, yet they possess all things. They possess everything. What do they have? Oh, congregation, they have God. They have God for their portion. Are you ever jealous of a people that have God for their portion? Do you know what they have? Do you know what they possess? They have forgiveness. Forgiveness. Are you ever jealous of that? That you say, oh, if I could be forgiven, then I could stand before the judgment seat of God. Do you know what they have? They have comfort. Do you know what they have? They have peace. Do you know what they have? They have joy. They have joy that is more than all the joy that is in this world. It is a joy that is not understood by this world, not comprehended by this world. A joy by moments, which is that same joy that is filling heaven. That is the portion of that people. It is not a disappointing joy. You have joy too sometimes. When we will be with one another, when we will receive something, then we have some joy. And then it is gone. And then it is a disappointment. No, not that true joy. Oh, they possess God. They possess heaven, that place where they shall live in glory with God forever and forever, where sin that will never, never enter in anymore, and no sorrow and no crying, and yet possess all congregation, there is a people. They are sitting here. And they say, do I really possess that? Do I really possess that? I know. I have spoken in my life. Do I take that back? Would I say, no, I have not experienced this? Oh, they cannot deny that. then it can be that they can tell it like it happened yesterday. Then it is true. Then it is true. They say that there was a time that the Lord, He opened to me my life. He showed me what I am. Oh, there was a time when the Lord, He said to me, "Thou art the man." That I became the guilty one. And that I was not able to come out from under it. Even that law of God that was before me. And when I could not come out from under the curses that were written in that book, shall I deny that? Then I would be a liar. Oh, there was a time when brass, the heavens, they were as brass. And that I could not pray. And then the Lord came. And then the Lord opened it. And then the Lord permitted me. He permitted me to come. To lay all my needs and all my cares and all my burdens before Him. Oh, it went so open. Shall I deny that? Oh, there was a time when it was so impossible. When I could not find a way. Being without God in this world and without hope. And then the Lord came. And then I saw. Oh, then He showed me something. Oh, of that little word grace. He gave me a little glimpse of His only begotten Son. It was the 10th hour. I remembered the day. I remember the hour. I even came to the Holy Supper of the Lord. Oh, I may say, there it was so good. And now, minister, you say, you speak about possessing. About possessing. Yet possessing all things. And no, I would not dare to say that it did not happen. But oh, it is so, so far away. And I am afraid that it is gone. It has been so long that I have heard a voice, a word from the Lord. Oh, if I could but sigh for a sign. And you speak about possessing. But actually, I feel the opposite. I feel that I have nothing and I am afraid. Oh, I am afraid, I am afraid that it is so. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. That is, congregation, the paradox in the life of that people. Do you know such a paradox? Let us sing first. 233. 1, 2, and 3. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear. For I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1, 2, and 3 of 233. As having nothing. Congregation, where are those people? There are those people in our days, in the last days, in the last time. There are those people, according to the Word of God, that have nothing. That is now the true church of God. No, we do not say it is a people that have experienced nothing. Because that is the lot of the reprobate, of the wicked. They have indeed experienced nothing. Then the Lord, He has no dealings with their soul. But where is now the people who end up with nothing? That is now the people that Paul says they possess all things, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Do they really have nothing? Oh, do you know what they have? They have emptiness. They have emptiness. Say, is that nothing? That is something. That is something. Because if we could only have emptiness, oh, then there could also be experienced a fullness that is from heaven. Do you know what they have? They have guilt. Guilt that can be forgiven. Do you know what they have? They have pollution that can be washed. Do you know what they have? They have ignorance that can be instructed. Do you know what they have? They have work for Christ. And they have work for the Holy Spirit of the Lord. For the application, because they cannot take it unto themselves as having nothing. That is, congregation, not the talk of their lips alone. No, that is the experience of their heart, of their life. The rich young ruler, he says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What did Paul say? He says, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. That was his complaint. That is a people who have nothing in that warfare, that spiritual warfare against sin. They are defeated time and again. In the storm, what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is the people of the Lord? Where is your faith? As having nothing. And where is your humility? When you are asking to sit on the right hand and on the left, as having nothing. And where is your love for one another and your self-denial when you are arguing who will be the greatest? As having nothing. Where is your faithfulness? Where is your constancy? Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. I know not the man. They all forsook him and fled. As having nothing. And your patience, and your contentment, when you are envious at the foolish? Wherefore do the wicked prosper? As having nothing. And your zeal? Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. I've put off my coat. As having nothing. And yet, possessing all things. Possessing all things. How is that possible? Or what did the bride say? She said, I am black but comely. That is the paradox. That divine paradox. I am black. I have nothing. And yet comely. Oh, I possess all things. Where is the solution? Where is the solution? It is in the relation. In the relation to the bridegroom. He says, I am married unto you. There is the solution to the paradox. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. What does he say? He says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Take a branch off the vine. What is it? It is nothing. It is nothing. It is dead. Oh, let that branch be in that vine. And then there is fruit. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Where is it? Oh, it is to be found in him. In him is justification, is sanctification, is a complete redemption, is reconciliation on the basis of his perfect obedience, active obedience, passive obedience. Therefore, he says, abide in me. Abide in me. Oh, it is by that relation that that church, though they have nothing, it is by that relation that that church possesses everything. When does that begin? That relation that begins in the new birth. In the new birth. Because there they are engrafted into that vine. And he will prune that vine, but he will never lop it off. Never. Sometimes pruned so that it looks like it is dead. Why? In order that it may bring forth more fruit. How do they receive it? We say it is the relation. The relation, yes. How do they receive those possessions in that relation? Or they receive those possessions by a true and living faith. What does Paul say? He says we are saved by hope. By hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But those possessions, they are in expectation for the people. And therefore, when they will hope, then they will with patience wait for them. What did Ruth have, congregation, when she stood on the borders of Moab? What did she have? She says she had nothing. No husband. No children. And she was not like unto one of his handmaidens. That was the greatest thing. She had nothing. Oh, there are people, they are sitting here, that say, "Minister, if I could have this much of what that woman had when she stood on the borders of Moab, I would give the whole world." Why? Because you say that woman had everything. And that is true. As having nothing, she possessed everything. Everything. How? By faith. That was planted in her heart. Faith? Yes. How do we know? Do you know what we read about her? We read, "And Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law." She clave unto her mother-in-law. What is a congregation? That is faith. That is faith. The natural religion cannot endure the trial. Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? And Orpah went back to her country and to her gods. But faith. Does it know Boaz yet? No. No. But in its essence, it is there. It cannot be lost. Oh, what do we read? Peter says, he says, kept. Kept. Because every moment, with all our religion, you and I, we lie on the border of apostasy. Of apostasy. And therefore, Peter, he says, kept. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. That will be a wonder. That will be a wonder, will it not? If we may be kept. Oh, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Congregation, a divine paradox, not to be understood, but to be recognized, but to be experienced. There is nothing in this whole world that endures nothing. What are you looking for? Young people, what are you looking for? Oh, if he is still alive, go speak to your grandfather. And if she is alive, go speak to your grandmother, if you have such a privilege. And every time that there is a funeral, come in the house of God and see what is left. When a man has to leave behind everything he has labored for all his life long, then what does he have? And our religion, Do you know what our religion is in and of itself? It is vain. Do you know what Solomon says? He says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. All his life, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he died as a wicked man. Then what do we have? We have nothing. Truly nothing. Oh, congregation, we need to know a relation. We need to know a relation. As a branch to the vine, if indeed, as having nothing, we will possess all things. Do we know that relation? Do we know that relation? Say, so how do I know that relation? How do I know? There was a man in the Word of God. The Lord will take care of his sheep. And that man, the Lord Jesus, he says, that man, he must be shown. He must be shown that that relation is still there. Because if I do not show him that, that man, he will despair. And he will not let him despair. But he had sinned so against the Lord, the congregation, it seemed like everything was gone. And then the Lord Jesus, he asked after the smallest mark. The smallest mark. Are there people here, they say, oh, tell me now. Tell me. Because I cannot reach unto those high things.
For if I may only know that that relation is true.
Do you know what the Lord asked him? He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And then that man, though the whole world, they could say, what's wrong with that man? And his heart had to testify against him. Then he could appeal to the all-knowing God to say, Lord, though everything is wrong, and I have sinned it all away, thou knowest, thou knowest that I love thee. And we love him because he first loved us. And do you know what Christ says? He says, I will cause them that love me to inherit substance. Substance. Congregation, do we know that relation? Oh, the Lord, give to us the love of him. The love of him. That we might be like that woman. She said, oh Lord, could I have a crumb? Because I have nothing. But if I could have a crumb, because Lord, the crumb, the dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. As having nothing and yet possessing all things, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou grant thy blessing upon thy word? It is just a few simple words, but Lord, could it please thee to know that relation between us and thee? Oh, plant that love within us, for thee, the only true God, but also for thee, his only begotten Son. Wilt thou strip us, Lord, of everything from our side, that all things may end in thee? Bring us safely to our places, and with desire in thy house in this afternoon, help him that will go before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 204. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of 204. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.